Good evening, and you are most welcome to this week's episode of Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. I'm your host, Aisling O'Rourke, and of course this programme is all about helping you make small but important changes and have a lasting and positive impact on the environment. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Plastic-Free July, and we're also checking in with what's been happening in Offaly County Council and what they've been up to. But before we get to our conversation in relation to that, have you heard of Plastic Free July? Do you know what it's even about? I have to admit, it was a new one on me, and I saw people that I follow on social media starting to talk about it last week, and I thought, God, I better find something out about that, seeing as I'm presenting an environmental show. So we'll be joined a little bit later on this evening by Pat Kane from reusey.ie, and Pat is going to tell us about the history of Plastic Free July and how, if we're interested, we might look to take part. But first things first, we're going to turn now to John McNally in Offaly County Council. And John, your role in Offaly County Council involves climate action and energy awareness. You're most welcome to Let's Go Green here this evening, John.
Thanks, Aisling. Thanks for having me.
Now, so John, first things first, maybe just in a nutshell, what exactly is your job?
Well, Aisling, I'm the Climate Action and Energy Officer for Offaly County Council. So my role is kind of a dual role. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the climate actions that Offaly County Council can take and the energy actions that, as an organisation, that we can take to help reduce our energy consumption and increase our energy efficiency. And then my second role is to promote climate action and energy efficiency in communities and out in the public.
Now, John, energy efficiency at the moment, I think it's at the forefront of most people's minds. Like, I know each and every month that goes, we're all getting a collective shock when it comes to our energy bills. And we're perhaps becoming more aware of how much energy we're consuming in our homes, if only because of the financial impact. In relation to the environment, how much of an impact does, say, the average person's daily energy usage have an impact?
Well, everybody has an impact, actually, and they're all connected. Climate, biodiversity, mm-hmm. energy, the environment, they're all connected. You can't look at one single element on its own, but energy is a big element across the climate action kind of umbrella. And it's important to know that every little change does make a difference for everybody's home, everybody's business, everybody's workplace. And again, climate action and energy is tied in together, that really it's using energy is causing climate action, is causing the change in climate. Like the recent, the IPCC 6th report, it says it's widely accepted that human activity is causing climate change. And most of that is down to CO2 and other greenhouse gases. So really it's energy use and fossil fuel energy use, really, that's the main cause for climate change. So really, every small change that you or me or anybody makes does make a difference. So if we can reduce our energy usage, we'll reduce our emissions. And then if we can take it a step further, if we can use clean, renewable energy where possible, we're helping the environment and we're helping to slow down climate change as well.
Now, is that about doing simple things like, you know, if the light bulb runs out, to try and buy an LED bulb instead of the traditional, maybe tungsten bulbs or that? Or, you know, are you talking about us making those kind of changes?
Absolutely. Like, people may get overwhelmed by climate action and climate change, but 25% of energy used in Ireland is actually used in the home.
So 25%?
25%, yeah.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And as you say, energy has gone so expensive now, mm. it's coming to the forefront of everybody's mind. But small actions can make a difference. Like in your home, the thermostats, like if you set your thermostat in living rooms to say 20 degrees, and then in hallways or areas that aren't used, if they were down to 16 to 18 degrees, you're saving big energy. And again, thermostat, most people might not know, but if you turn down your thermostat by 1 degree, you're going to save 10% on your energy bill, on your fuel bill. So that's a huge difference. If you have a fuel bill of €200 a month and you turn it down by 1 degree, straight away you're saving €20. And again, another small tip in the house that, like, if people want to save energy and save money, like, heat rooms that are being used. Like, many people during the winter that have radiators on in every room in the house, but the family might only be sitting in one room and the whole house has been heated. So people can make small changes like that.
And I think at the moment, like, we're in July. It is, technically, it's the summer. It might not feel like it, but it is officially the summer months. And I know, like, even like myself, I turned on the heat. I turned on, we have an oil fire at home. I turned it on last week. I was given out that I was cold, you know. We're and I know that there will be people listening who are not turning the heat on because of fear of the bill. So that idea of maybe turning it on when you need it, but reducing the temperature, all that, ever so slightly by 1 degree, you know, instead of people just sitting at home and being cold.
Absolutely. And like, nobody is saying don't use energy. I suppose the message is don't waste energy. Like, energy is so expensive now that we have to be very conscious on how we consume our energy, and we have to be very mindful not to waste it. Whereas before, we mightn't be that conscious and we'd end up paying for it. But now I think we have to become conscious where we're using it and how not to waste it.
Now, John, talk to me about mobile phone chargers. Like, I'd be willing to bet if you did a trek around the Offaly County Council buildings this evening, there'd be plenty of people who have their mobile phones, work mobile phones, I'm sure, but plugged into the socket to charge, or even to their computer to charge up. And I know a lot of us tend to leave things like that plugged in when they're not being used. And I know I've been told anecdotally that even though the charger might not actually be in use, the fact that it's plugged into the wall will still draw on electricity. Is that true?
It's absolutely true, yeah. And it is a huge phenomenon, and across every household in the country, that it's kind of called vampire power, that it's, even though you have something plugged in or it might be on standby, it can use up to 50% of the energy as if the device was turned on. So again, it's very important that people know how they're consuming their energy and know their devices and know their appliances. And again, you'd hear anecdotally people going to boil the kettle for a cup of tea, and they turn it on and they'd walk away and they'd come back a couple of minutes later and they'd flick the switch again. But that kind of scenario, listen, you want your cup of tea, there's no problem with that. But it's the wasting of the energy that's going to hit you in the pocket eventually.
I won't name and shame, but I know someone who recently bought a new iron, and the iron got plugged in, was being used, and then this random beeping started in the house, and they couldn't figure out what the beeping was about, and it took a few days only to figure out that this new iron was the source, that apparently it knows when it's being used and when it's not. And if you, maybe you might be doing a whole load of laundry and next thing the phone rings. So you leave it, even though you know you shouldn't, you leave the iron plugged in, you walk away, you take the phone call, you get chatting, and she might as well make a cup of tea while you're at it. And before you know, 20 or 30 minutes have gone by and the iron's not been used, even though it's still been plugged in. This new fangled thing will beep and annoy you until you have either started using it again or plug it out. I would find that very irritating if it were in my house, but I see the purpose. Are are technology companies trying to make us more aware of energy usage or to be a little bit smarter about it?
I think so. And even if you look at any of your appliances now, they'll have an energy rating on the appliance. If you're buying a fridge freezer, if you're buying a TV, it'll have its energy rating. And again, I think more and more people are being conscious of that. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at that and they're saying, well, okay, to go from a C rating to a B rating, okay, it might be 20, 30, 40, 50 euros. But over the lifespan of that appliance, that's going to save you hundreds and hundreds of euros at today's energy prices. And again, in work, like in fairness to our IT department here in the council, they've brought in a brilliant initiative that all the PCs in the building automatically get shut off at 6 o'clock in the evening. So if I'm in a rush, if I get a phone call and I jump up from a desk and run out the door and forget to turn off my PC, come 6 o'clock, the technology is there that PC gets shut down automatically and all that energy is saved. So yeah, the technology is out there, and I think more and more companies are embracing it, and I think more and more customers are embracing it too.
And I think maybe, like, I'm the kind of person that tries to find a silver lining in everything. And like the plus side maybe of the current crisis that we're going through, and it is a crisis because it's, finances are very tight at the moment, let's be honest about it, is that if we become more aware of actually how energy waste is hitting us in the pocket, that we do our bit for the environment while also helping our pocket.
Absolutely. It all helps. You're helping the climate. You're not going to only help biodiversity, you're helping energy and energy consumption, you're helping the environment, but most important, you're helping your pocket.
Now, people might be surprised that I'm talking to somebody from the County Council about this, because we don't necessarily think of yourselves in the local authorities around the country when it comes to climate action and environmental awareness or even energy consumption. So can we go to you for advice, John?
You can. The council are always here to give advice where we can, and we're here to promote climate action and climate change, and we're here to promote energy efficiency. Like, there's other agencies like the SEAI do wonderful work in this area as well. And again, if people want to do a little bit more than outside their home or outside their place of work, if they want to get involved with their community, and for the community to come together and look at energy and energy consumption between the GEA club or the local shop or the pub or the local housing estate or whatever, the SEAI and the local authorities support sustainable energy communities, where a community might come together, they'd form a little group, they'd register with the SEAI, and from there they'd send down energy consultants to have a look at everything energy-wise within the community, to give them a report that highlight projects where they could implement energy efficiency projects, and there's grants available to do those kind of projects as well. And again, the local authorities and Offaly County Council is placed to support those sustainable energy communities, and we've agreed with the SEAI to give bridge funding to those communities to help them get their energy master plans. So yeah, the more and more the local authority is here to support individuals and communities and businesses. Like, our local enterprise section here are doing wonderful work to support small, medium and large businesses on a sustainability path, helping them get to a net zero carbon position. So yeah, there's lots of support here within Offaly County Council, and again regionally around Westmeath and Leash and Longford and Roscommon local authorities as well, where
Well, John McNally, there is so much more that I want to talk to you about. So we might get back in touch with you a little bit later on this summer. And I do know that you've got a very interesting project, which we won't give away just yet. But that'll be happening in Offaly County Council in September. But I think we'll have to have you back on, John, on another occasion. But for now, thank you so much for talking to us about our energy consumption and your advice on how we can maybe do our bit for the environment while also saving on those awful energy bills at the moment. John McNally, Climate Action and Energy Usage Officer at Offaly County Council. Thank you so much for your time today.
That's great. Thanks, Aisling. Bye-bye.
We'll be back after the break. You're listening to Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103, and I hope you have been enjoying our show so far this evening. Up next, we're going to be talking about plastic-free July. And I'm wondering if, as you listen to this, if you take a look around the car or the kitchen or the bathroom, wherever you are when you're listening to this particular episode of the show, how much plastic can you spot and do you really need it in your life? It's a question I've been asking myself lately in the lead up to the conversation that I had with Pat Kane, which I will play in a few moments' time. But just something for you to think about. You know, are there simple changes that we could be making to just cut down on the plastic that we're using, or at least to get as much use as possible out of those maybe plastic containers or plastic bottles? You know, what could we do this July to cut down on the amount of plastic that we use in our homes on a day-to-day basis? And Pat will have lots of tips coming up for us after the break. But you might remember, I think it was towards the end of May there, we had Bridget Gagan from Mishatussa on the programme talking to us about, well, fast fashion, the damage that fast fashion does to the environment, and what exactly slow fashion is and how we can make sustainable choices when it comes to purchasing new clothes. Because at the end of the day, our bodies change, sometimes on a daily, weekly, monthly and annual basis. Clothes wear out. We do have to buy new clothes, sometimes frequently, but at least on occasion. How do we make choices that are more environmentally minded, but even more sustainable long term when it comes to even the money that we're wasting on cheaper fashion products that we only wear once or twice, decide they're just cheap, they're not really great, and bin them? So I know Bridget's tip, the one that stuck with me, was if I'm buying a new piece of clothing, will I wear it 30 times? Will I get 30 wears out of that top, that dress, that pair of trousers? And if I won't, well, then why am I wasting my money on it? So that was the tip that Bridget left with us with. But in the meantime, I follow the Guardian newspaper on Instagram. They have an excellent Instagram feed, actually, if you're looking for somebody to follow on Instagram. And they had a post recently on their grid, how can I buy clothes that will last? Because that's the thing, you know, we don't want to be wasting money. You don't want to buy something that falls apart after two washes. And we've all been there, thought we've bought something great and it's fallen apart in the first wash. And, you know, what do you do then? Well, some of the tips that The Guardian has given us in this particular Instagram post were to, and this is before we buy, remember, okay? So check the hem and the seams to see, are they sewn properly, okay? Are they loose? Are they going to snag really easily? Do they look insecure? They suggest that we examine the stitching and inspect the entire garment for damage. So, and it's a question I have to ask myself, like, yeah, sure, I might try the outfit on, but do I actually inspect it to make sure there's no holes in it? The honest answer is probably no. But really, we should. Make sure the seams, all that stitching, that it's actually done properly. Other things that we can check is look at the label. Okay, thanks to the European Union, we have regulations as to what should be on labels and what has to be on labels. So it should tell us where the garment was made. That should give us an indication of the quality of the jobs that are in that particular place, in terms of whether or not it was made in a sweatshop. Let's call a spade a spade. What is its fabric composition? the type of fabric that is contained in the product will determine how long it'll last for, and it will also give us instructions on how to care for it. Like, it might be reasonable to say that there's no point in spending 50 or 60 euro on that jacket that says dry clean only, because that means you're not really going to wear it all that frequently, because let's be honest, who has the money to constantly pay for dry cleaning these days, you know? And I'm not, that's no shade on dry cleaners. I know it's an expensive job to do and you have to do it properly, but we have to be practical. Then they're talking about the actual, the composition of the garment itself, like what's it made from. So if it's made of a protein fibre like wool, obviously it's going to keep us warm when it's cold. But something like wool is a breathable fabric, so that'll at least allow us breathe if the weather gets a little bit too warm. Fibres made from plant matter, such as cotton, linen and viscose, are breathable. They're not going to keep us warm, but they won't make us smell in hotter temperatures. And let's be honest, with the weather that we're having recently, it's freezing one minute and boiling the next. So you kind of need to be conscious of the fabric that you're wearing. Synthetic fibres, like polyester and nylon, might last longer. Okay, that's the honest thing. They're not great for the environment. They don't breathe, so they're going to trap body odours. So you may notice that they'll cause you to sweat and have a bit more BO. Okay, so obviously you have to take that into consideration as well. They might also not be as comfortable to wear as a natural fibre is on your skin. The other thing then, the other suggestion that The Guardian has for us as well is looking at the quality of the garment itself. Move it between your thumbs and your fingers. Stretch it. See if it'll snag easily. Will it move with you? Look at where it's made. Okay? Where, just because certain countries have a reputation for having sweatshops or having very, very luxurious fashion houses, doesn't necessarily mean that everything made in those countries will be made in those conditions. So you really want to look at the quality of the clothing and make that judgment for yourself, with alongside the knowledge of what you know about the place in where it was created. But if, for example, you look at the price of the garment and you know that it was made in Italy, we know that Italy is fairly similar to Ireland. It's a fairly expensive country to visit, fairly expensive country to live in. So if it was made in Italy, but it only costs 5 euro, does that add up? You know, how much time goes into making the garment? Does that add up to a fair minimum wage for the work that goes into making the particular item? These are all questions that we really should be asking ourselves before we go to the shop, when we go to the shop, and before we go to the till. We're all guilty of not, you know, but at least if you remembered one or two of those tips, like think about it reasonably. Like Bridget suggested, are you going to wear the item 30 times? Look at the amount of work that goes into making the top, the pair of trousers, the pair of shoes. Do you really think you could make that for a fiver? If the answer is no, I'd suggest you look at something else. Just my thoughts. Thought it was an interesting post from The Guardian, so I said I would share it with you tonight. We'll be back after the break to talk to Pat Kane from Reusey about Plastic Free July. You're listening to Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. I hope you are enjoying our programme so far this evening. Well, if you're like me, you might be in a bit of shock that we're already in the month of July. God, the months really are flying. But you might not be aware that there is a movement, Plastic Free July, that has spread on social media. And given that we are an environmental show, I thought it would be worth investigating what exactly Plastic Free July is all about. Now, to talk to us and explain this to us, we're joined by Pat Kane from Reusey. Pat, you are most welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pat, let's, I suppose, start off with the basics. What exactly is Plastic Free July?
So Plastic Free July is a movement that started in Australia in 2011, and the aim was to raise the awareness of the harms caused by single-use plastics, of course, and encourage people to make better swaps, better choices when, you know, just going about their day, buying stuff for their home, that sort of thing.
And that all sounds very commendable, okay?
But yeah,
I know myself when I was getting ready to, you know, for the day today, and I was putting on the bit of makeup and having the shower and all of that, I started taking a look around the bathroom, never mind the rest of the house. And like, I'm not sure I'd know where to start, because everything I used this morning, just because I was aware we were going to have this conversation, seemed to contain plastic. And, you know, we get very attached to the products that we use. So convincing us to buy something different is a challenge in and of itself, but knowing where to start often is the hardest bit.
Yeah, exactly. So you touched there on bathroom, for example, right? That's one of my favorite areas when it comes to finding new ways of doing things that you love doing, or things that you're used to do, right? So take your toothbrush, for example. You know, toothbrushes are not recyclable. They are packed with different materials, so obviously they're very difficult to recycle, which means that bamboo alternatives, for example, you know, could come in handy. They have nylon bristles, because that's how it is for now, but their body is purely made from bamboo that can be composted, you know, obviously a much more eco-friendly alternative. And I'll give you a second example. You know, your liquid gel, you can absolutely swap that for a soap bar. And that's that, you know, so inexpensive, so easy. And when it's gone, it's actually gone. In Ireland, we have thousands, I'd say, of soap makers, you know, making soaps with natural ingredients that are incredible. And they're so fun to try. So there you go. Two examples, you know, that don't take that much effort, I think.
Okay, and I'm going to put my hand up here. I'm rather attached, Pat, to my shampoo that I buy from my hairdresser, because there's colour in my hair. And I suppose would be a little bit nervous about picking up a shampoo bar, even though I know it's better for the environment. But getting your hair done costs an awful lot of money, so I don't want to do any damage to the colour. Is there a suitable alternative, do you think?
They are. Yeah, I'm happy to send you one, actually. But there are alternatives. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, the same way it took potentially took time for you to find the perfect shampoo, liquid shampoo for your hair, you know, it would take maybe a few goes for you to try the perfect bar for your hair. It's, you know, I know visually they look very different, but it's the same concept, right? All we're trying to do is to wash our hair. So it's, again, going out there, finding what works for you and sticking to it, you know. And to be honest, Aisling, what I always say is something that works for someone else might not work for you. A habit that works for me might not work for you. So it's about finding a habit that work, you know, for your lifestyle, you know, whatever it is, or your personal choices, circumstances, and all of that sort of thing. So if shampoo bars are not for you, you know, what else could you do? You know,
okay.
So I'm always trying to find the incremental benefits, if you know what I mean.
That's a really good point. And like plastic-free July, okay, you could be super enthusiastic and okay, right, this Monday night now, I'm clearing the house of plastic. I'm not going to buy any plastic for the month of July, and we're going to go cold turkey. I can honestly say to me that would feel very terrifying, because what would I do with all the plastic that I, you know, that I already have? Okay.
Yeah.
So what might be a good way to do it incrementally, to use your own turn of phrase there? How might we step our toe in the plastic free water?
So basically what I would say, first of all, never throw away anything you already have just because you don't think that's sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. And that would be quite an unsustainable or non-sustainable, I suppose, thing to do. You know, use everything you have to the last drop, you know, to the last Bram. So once you have, you are done with something, then you know better to find, you know, a more sustainable or eco-friendly alternative. You know, if you use your moisturizer as an example, or if you use your toothpaste as an example, you know, use what you have. That's the most sustainable thing you can do, to be honest. And then you start looking for different ways of doing those things. I would say, you know, simple things that we can all do today. You know, it's hard to find someone who doesn't have like a reusable tote bag at home right now. You know, they might not be organic cotton or bamboo fabric, but they will be reusable. They might be a Tesco for Life bag, you know, whatever it is. So pack that into your bag, backpack. If you're driving, put one in the car. So you're always prepared, whatever comes your way. If you decide to pick up a few bits when you're out, you know, you will have a bag. That's number one. You know, like, plastic bags, they still exist out there, you know, the flimsy plastic bags, but that's not only the problem. You don't want to be paying for plastic bags or, you know, every time you go out. So that's a simple one, you know, and the same goes for your water bottle, your coffee cup. You might not have a fancy coffee cup, but you will have mugs at home, right? So carry a little coffee mug. Put one in your car, put one in your bag. You know, again, it does not need to be the fancy latest keep cup model, you know. All you need to do is to carry a coffee when you're out and about. And again, as I said, you might find out that you rather sit down at a coffee shop with a real, you know, mug, like crockery or whatever, porcelain, instead of carrying your own. And that's fine. So that habit might not even work for you. So try to use things that you have at home. That would be my second point.
And then, and on then, the latte levy, of course, yeah, is coming up, Pat. So
you will have to, yeah.
Yeah. So if we even use the month of July to get used to bringing a reusable coffee cup or teacup with us in the car or in the handbag, like that in itself would be a month well spent.
Or else you're going to be forced to sit down and have your coffee there and then with real cups, you know, which is not a bad thing either, I guess. But, you know, like, and then thirdly, only thirdly, I would say, you know, if you don't have something that you consider to be more sustainable, or if it's something that you want to give it a go and you don't have anything at home that could help you with that, then look for local sustainable shops, you know, and try and find, you know, locally made products, or at least shops that are owned by, I suppose, you know, local folks. The idea being supporting the economy, the idea of being supporting small makers, the small creatives, I think that's quite important too. So use what you have, you know, do not throw away anything. And again, support local if you can.
And like, I know, like here in the Midlands, we are blessed. We've got the refill mill in Mullingar. We've got the Milby beeswax wraps available from County Offaly. We've got loads of local food markets where we have craftspeople pop up maybe once a month, or, you know, so we do have those alternatives right here in the Midlands. We don't necessarily need to go on to, well, the likes of Amazon or to Dublin, you know, like we have those alternatives. It's just actually about thinking about them and going out and supporting those local makers.
That's exactly, Ashley. That's to me number one. And it's like a very important part of being sustainable is looking after your community, you know, it's shopping with the people you know, supporting a family around the corner, you know, by buying their products. So absolutely.
Now, I was following the conversation that you guys were having on your Reusey Instagram page. And you had asked your followers, you know, what were they going to try doing? And somebody answered, and I thought this was really clever because I hadn't thought of it myself, to bring reusable containers to the butchers. Now, I've seen people go to the markets and get maybe have a glass jar for the olives we put in, or, you know, things like that. Yeah. I've seen that. But like the butchers that I go to that I'm particularly fond of, they do lovely like dishes with maybe a sauce already in it. And it comes in the plastic container, which I do reuse. I will be honest, I do reuse them, but I've got loads of Tupperware at home. Like, to be honest, I could nearly open a Tupperware shop. And like, and like my butcher knows me. I could easily go in and say, listen, would you mind just popping the meat in this instead of that? Do we need to start maybe thinking before we leave the house to do the shop?
Aisling, I'll give you, this is the literal example of thinking outside the box, right? The plastic box. I always say that, you know, the idea bring, like, it's to use your butchers and your fishmongers and your bakeries and any, or whatever it is, whatever, wherever it is that you go to buy, I suppose, loose goods, bring your own containers, you know. And again, it does not need to be a fancy container, any Tupperware. You can reuse something that you got to take away and it, you know, whatever you have. And if it's something that it's already, like, as you said, prepared, you know, with a lovely sauce, etc., you know your butcher, you say, look, I'm going to bring my container. Can I ask you to just put the same thing that you have prepackaged there in here? And I find very difficult for them to say no, even if it's a matter of you having to come back a few minutes later, you know, still they will get it done. So I am a huge, I suppose, supporter of people who decide to bring their own containers. I would do myself, you know, we have a large supermarket near us in W18. And, you know, I am always there with my containers, buying cheese, buying, you know, little dips and hummus and whatever it is, because the guys are, they're happy to do it. So why not, you know?
Okay. Even in the big supermarkets?
They are. Yeah. Because I went around like a crazy me just asking, you know, can I bring my containers? Can I bring my, you just ask, you know, it doesn't matter who they are, big, small, like just ask, because you never know, you know, you never know.
So Pat, look, we're at the first Monday now in July, and to someone listening at home who thinks, do you know what, I'd like to give this a go. What's the one key piece of advice you'd give them?
My key piece of advice will always be take a week of your life and try and track, you know, your habits, almost like a habit audit. Yeah, I did these with my house and my family life here. And I think as an individual, we should all be doing it from time to time. Right. What am I buying every week? Yeah. What's consistent? I'm not talking about that holiday, because that's obviously a different story. But what's a consistent lifestyle for you for a week? You know, what sort of food are you bringing into your home? You know, what sort of products you're buying? What sort of businesses are you supporting? Have a look and literally use your phone notes or a little notebook if you're old school like me, and take notes. You know, this is everything I bought it this week. Did I need those things? You know, where did I buy them? Did they generate waste at the end of the day? You know, if it's food waste, if it's plastic waste, whatever type of waste, and track that and try to figure it out. Where can you do better? Because I could sit here all day and tell you, you know, about all these incredible swaps that can happen and exist, but I don't know if they're going to work for you. So it's not fair for me to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So absolutely. And understand the problem. You can't fix what you don't understand, right? So try and understand what your pitfalls, your downfalls are before you start making a move. And if you do decide to make a move, ask the questions. You know, I'm always obviously happy to answer any questions. You can follow us on social media. You know, and there's so many people around the country doing similar things. So absolutely have the conversations and, you know, explore alternatives. Ask, have you heard of anything that, you know, can replace, I don't know, cling film? And you will get to Mewbee, you get to so many great people doing beeswax wraps, for example, or even to, you know, your old grandmother saying to you, why don't you just use a piece of cloth instead? Mm. You know, why not? Let's go back to the old habits. Amazing. You know, I would say understand your problem, your individual situation before anything else.
Well, Pat Kane of Reusey, thank you so much for having a chat with us today about Plastic Free July. I really do appreciate your time. And I know over the last couple of years, going through the pandemic, for most of us, we've raced into the local supermarket, picked up what we need and raced back out of it. Yeah. But maybe now we take into consideration that at the end of the checkouts, in most of the good supermarkets, let's call them that, they do have the bins at the bottom of the checkout for all that plastic waste. It only takes a couple of minutes. You could decant there and then in the supermarket, and don't bring the plastic home with you. If you have to, for example, buy the berries in the plastic container, you could at least put it into the recycling there in the supermarket.
Yeah. Well, and you Pat send Kane, a powerful message. You send a powerful message too.
Exactly. Well, Pat Kane of Reusey, I'm sure we'll talk to you again in the program. Thank you for joining us tonight on Midlands 103.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we have time for on this week's episode of Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. Please do remember that you can get in contact with me here on the show by emailing letsgogreen@midlands103.com, or you can search for Aisling O'Rourke on the Midlands 103 website and you can get in contact with me directly there. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show this evening. I hope we gave you some food for thought in relation to Plastic Free July and our energy usage. We'll be back same time next week here on Midlands 103. But for now, I'm going to leave you now with a classic. It's Beautiful Day by U2 at Glastonbury in 2011. Have a great week.